So we're starting the eighth parak in Yuma. Ayin Gimel on the base. All right. So the Mishnah lists six things, right? Achila, Shasiyah, Rechitza, Sicha, Nila, Sasan, Tatash, Shvita. Okay. So really is what? Let's take a look at Rashi.
Yom Kippur and Asar Bachila of Jesiah, Mufarish bin Mar, Ko Hani Ikru, Inue.
Okay, so where do these, so Rashi's explaining, where do these come from? Yeah, because the Pasuk, because all of these are called Inui. All of these are called Inui. Yeah. All of these are called Inui. But what does it mean they're called Inui? It means not doing them as Inui, right? Not eating, not drinking. So refraining from these things creates an inoy. Is that so? And by Yom Kippur, the pasuk says the lashon inoy five times. Go ahead.
V'hani
hei havu. These are five. Okay. Even though we counted six, achilas zirachitz asicha ni'ilas tanul tashrita, we counted six. Rashi says they're really five. Why? Because Shasiyah is included in Achila. So what's the category?
Ingestion.
What's that? What? Satiation? Rambam, did you see the Rambam calls them Hazon. They both, they're sustenance. Right? That was in terms of, it's interesting, in terms of the pleasure elements, there's a difference between the pleasure of eating and the pleasure of drinking. And I would argue, even in terms of the inoy, it seems it's different. No? The inoy of not eating and the inoy of not drinking are not the same.
In what way?
Different pain. Just like the inoy of not bathing is different than the inoy of not eating. I mean, it's a different experience. No? I think.
I was eating Big
Bird
and having nothing to drink.
Exactly.
Or imagine you're living.
We're debating this. If eating and drinking are the same. If the lack of.
No, what about the water fast?
The lack of eating and the lack of drinking is whether it's the same or different enoi. But the point is they come under one kind of deprivation, and that is depriving yourself of your bodily sustenance. Okay. That's what you could argue if you were counting inoy experientially. Maybe I'll say feeling the hunger and feeling thirst are different experiences. I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, you're definitely right. You eat a salty meal and you're not hungry, but you could be dying of thirst. It's not the same. I don't think it's the same experience. But you know, it's interesting. We're not counting the inoy purely by the experience. That's something we have to think about, keep in mind. So Rashi is saying that Achila is included in, Shasiyah is included in Achila. Achila being the main category of sustenance, and Shasiyah is also part of it. Yeah. The number matters, because that's Rashi's saying, where you learn what's Asar, because Inoy is mentioned five times. So the problem is, how do you have six? He says, no, it's really five. Okay. All right, this opens up a big issue that we're not going to take right now. That is the question of the difference between the Isser of Achila and Shasiyah and the other Isserim, Rechitza, Sicha, Ni'ilasan, Tashmina. Are they on par or not? Are they all deraisas? Are they, is only Achila deraisa? The other one is Rabbanon? It becomes a big topic that we're going to get into. But for right now, I just want to focus on the Mishnah itself. Rashi's taking it. Rashi's taking he's treating them like they're all on par here. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. As we're gonna, I'm just bringing up the topic. We'll have to think about if we agree that inoy of not eating and not drinking are different. So then, why are they? So what do you mean that they're bechlal? One is bechlal, the other. The point is, once you start saying they're both part of sustenance, then you're not saying pure experience of inoy anymore. Now you're saying some sort of idea, keeping away from sustenance.
Category.
Yeah, no, if I just go by feelings, so so then it would seem I should break them up.
What are you saying?
Because they're. But if I'm saying it's keeping away from, like you're saying, the inui is that I'm depriving myself of something I need, of sustenance, so then it's not really the pain necessarily. Now, this becomes a question. Is the pain like an indication of something we need, and we're really keeping away from things we need? Or do we really want pain? You know what I mean? That's something we have to think about. Now, you could look at it two ways. Right? We're really sort of getting ahead of ourselves. But that is something we'll have to think about. When you say you should have inui, does it mean that it's good to have pain? Should I? Would it be a kiyum to walk on hot coals on Yom Kippur? I mean, would that be a kiyum? Right? That stuff around? Or is it saying, no, it's not really the Torah wants you to feel pain, but it's like a barometer. Things that when you don't do, you experience pain, are show that they're important activities. And we want to basically keep away from certain types of things. But if a guy is a great faster, doesn't bother him, doesn't mean he has less of a Yom Kippur than a guy who can't, you know, miss a meal. All right. But anyway, we'll return to all these questions. Go ahead. But I want to focus on some of the details. These are sort of like the big questions. Today, I just want to focus on some of the more detailed points in the Mishnah. Good. So now we have exceptions.
The Hamelach v'Hakohen.
That's a funny halacha. That what? It's Aser b'Rechitza, but a king and a kala can wash their faces. Can wash their faces. Go ahead. Yeah. So what does that make you? How does it make you feel about the Iser of Rechitza?
All right. It's not the worst thing in the world to do it.
I mean, it's strange, right? It's strange. Like, what kind of... All of a sudden you have a heter over here. It's not absolute.
Like it's not enough.
Okay, so Rashi says, why is a melech allowed to wash his face? Because it's the way and the praise of the melech to be beautiful. Darko shvachol yosnoa. That's part of the glory, that's part of the shevach, and the that's his nature. How do we know that's the nature of a king to be handsome? Because it says, Melech b'yofyo techazen einecha. Melech b'yofyo techazen einecha. That you'll see the melech in his beauty. Melech b'yofyo techazen einecha.
What?
Okay, so the kala needs to be beautiful. Ad shetechavev al bala. Until when?
Until her husband loves her.
V'chol shloshim yom l'chuposo, he kru yakala. Yeah, so what does that mean? So Rashi, just generally speaking, Rashi's saying both of these people need beauty. The king needs to be no'er, because that's part of his glory, that's part of his kavod or his shevach. And it's part of his stature as a king, right? Regal. King is regal. He has to look a certain way. Looks like a schlump. You don't feel the same respect for the guy. So that's the melech is b'yofyo techazen einecha. So he needs the beauty because of his position. And the kala needs the beauty. Why? Because the time of the first 30 days of marriage, Rashi's saying, is called kala. And during that time, that's when the bonds, that's the time of transition from being single to being a couple. And that's when the husband develops that's the beginning of the relationship is when the chiba is developing. And it has to be, once it's solidified in the beginning, it's going to have a lasting effect on the whole relationship. So it's important for her to have a certain attractiveness during that period of time, so he doesn't feel he made a mistake. Whatever it is, he's got to really. It's a certain amount, a certain amount of investment of energies into each other, and she has to. And that's not saying that men are that shallow, but it's easier when she looks beautiful. Okay, go ahead. And the chaya, who's a chaya? This chaya refers to a woman who just gave birth.
So no et ha sandal.
She can wear the sandal. Rashi.
Shehatzina kashala.
Because it's very cold. The foot is cold, and walking on bare feet is cold, and it's very painful for her. Coldness is painful for her. So this is not a sakana. This is not a sakana. How do you know it's not a sakana? You can prove it's not a sakana.
It doesn't say sakana.
Because chachamim osrin. Chachamim say she can't wear her shoes. Okay. So go ahead. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rashi.
Aku kali melech v'kala v'chaya.
Okay. So Rashi is learning that it's the same machlokas in all three. In other words, the Mishnah says these five, we have these five minuyim, achilish, siya, etc. And then it gives three cases of exceptions. The melech and the kala can wash their faces. And the chaya can wear, melech, kala, and the chaya can wear shoes. And after that series, it says, divrei Rabbi Eliezer and chachamim osrim. So naturally, the question is, what was divrei Rabbi Eliezer and what was chachamim osrim? In other words, was Rabbi Eliezer, Rashi's learning, Rabbi Eliezer is on all three, and the Chachamim argue on all three. Okay? But, if you look at the Rambam, whether you look in the Yad, in terms of the Psak, or in terms of the Perish Shnayas, the Rambam learns differently, right? Take a look at the Rambam. I think in the Perish Shnayas he has it also. The Rambam says, he says, "V'omru hamelech v'hakala tzorach sheyia imo hanoi." Hamelech v'hakala, hamelech tzorach sheyia imo hanoi. Omar melech v'yofyo techazenei necha. V'chein hakala kidei shelo tizgana al baila. He has it the opposite. She shouldn't be. Rashi says to create the chiba, and Ram just says shelo tizgana. She shouldn't become disgusting. Okay. But he says, V'omru. What does it mean, V'omru? V'omru means they said, meaning it's the Chacham. And then at the end, he says, No, he has those two separate. He doesn't have it together with the Nilas Hazano. What does he have in the Yad? How does he have it in the Yad? In the Perish Shnayas says we passed him like Rabbi Eliezer.
Akrav is like.
The funny thing is in Kapach, this is where I was reading it initially. The end of the Rambam is the Ein Halachah Rabbi Eliezer. So then, but what happened in the Yad? That's the problem. And so in the Perish Shnayas of the Kapach. And he says specifically over here, he says, "B'ma'adur kama lo hoya v'ein halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer." It wasn't in there. Why does he put it in? If the Ram, does seem to pass like Rabbi Eliezer. But the point is, if you have the girsa ein halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer at the end of the parish of Shnayas, then for sure he's learning Rabbi Eliezer is only on the last case. Because he doesn't say anything, because he seems to endorse the kala and the melech in the beginning. Strange, but then you have to say he changed his mind when he got to the Yad. It's funny. All right, so the question is Rabbi Eliezer on all three, or are they agreeing on the first two? That's our question. I mean, Rashi says clearly that the machlokas is on all three, right? Take a look at the Gemara in Ayin Ches Amud Bet. The Gemara seems also like that. But it does seem to put them all together. It says, Masnisin Mani. He says, Amelech Vakal Yirchetu Espanayim. Masnisin Mani, Rabbi Chananya Ben Taradni. Titanya Amelech Vakal Lo Yirchetu Espanayim. Right? That's Tanakama. Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Melech Vakala Yichetu Espanayim. Achaya Lotin Olas HaSandol Rabbi Chananya ben Taradion Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer hachayatin lasasano. My time a melech mishum tichsev melech biyof yo techazan einecha. Kala my time a kadesh lo tisgana al baila, like the Rambam has. And the sandal is mishum tzina. Yeah, so it seems like you gotta learn like Rashi then. No? They're all coming from the same, they're all based, it is machlokas on all of them. So what the Kapach says, Enoch Gavi Eliezer, in the end, is strange. Especially since the Rambam has all three. Okay, so let's work on the machlokas over here. Let's see if we can understand the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer on these three cases. Okay? The Melech, the Kala. Melech and Kala seem to be grouped together in one category, and Chaya in another category.
Well,
so,
they seem to be grouped because they're dealing with Chitza.
Okay.
Not necessarily that they have anything to do with.
Okay, that's a good point. All right, so what do you say? What's the machlokas over here? By the way, this fact that there's a heter of rechitza and ne'ilas sandal is what makes a lot of Rishonim conclude that these things are the Rabbanon. Because how do you have a heter like this? Midaraisa. We'll have to see again when that comes up. Yeah, go ahead. Gil, what do you say? What's the machloka? So in terms of defining the machlokas, we really only need to think of Rabbi Eliezer. Right? I mean, because the Rabbanim are saying are just consistent. They're saying, look, there's an Isser of Rechitza, and the Melech can't wash, and the Kala can't wash. They don't need to give a reason why. You know, that's not a surprising conclusion. If I tell you that you can't wash your face on Yom Kippur, would you ask me for an explanation of why the Melech can and why the Melech and the Kala can't either? No, that's the norm. If I tell you it's also to do the Maisa Rechitza, so then it's also to do the Maisa Rechitza. Everybody's also. You want to talk about Sakana? Fine. That's a different question. But it's a Maisa Rechitza whether you're a Melech or a Kala. So you need a reason for, you need a reason for the Heter. So what's the idea? What's the idea? I mean, how do they get carved out of this Isser of Rechitza? I personally do think that there's a difference between the Melech and the Kala on the one hand and the Chaya on the other hand. I think the nature of the Heter is different. When you think about the Kala and what's the reason for the Kala and the Melech that's given by the Gemara and Rashi mentions? What's the reason?
Nice.
Why must they wash their face? Yeah.
To look nice.
To look nice. Okay, I also want to look nice.
Yeah, but they have a certain status, I guess, that they have to
maintain, right?
Yeah.
Their title as king or kala defines that they have to look a certain way.
Right, so in other words, for them, the Maisa of Rechitza is not stam, like you're saying, is not stam a personal oneg, a personal oneg, but it really is part of a certain status of who they are. It's really a kiyum in who they are. In other words, it's part of being a king to present yourself a certain way. That's the nature of his position. So when he's washing his face, for him washing his face is not accomplishing. For an average person, when you wash your face, all you're accomplishing is a certain pleasure of freshening up. Right, a certain feeling that removing the grime of whatever. So it is a freshening up. It's a personal hygiene. But for the king, it's not a personal issue. It's not a matter of he's doing it to satisfy a certain personal need. It really has to do with who he is. It has to do with being a melech. So it's not really a maisa, just a regular action of tainik.
But why not? I mean, the goal of
it's like you have halacha by a rav can be mochel in his kavod, right? A father can be mochel in his kavod, a rav can be mochel in his kavod, but a melech can't be mochel on his kavod. Because he says that because the Gemara says part of being a melech is that you treat him a certain way. That's part of the identity of a king, that he has a certain amount, he has a certain impact on you. And he's not to be mochel. If a rav is mochel on his cover, he's still your rav. He still is the source of learning. He still has his essential definition of rav is not affected by whether he's mochel on his cover. Because the essential definition of rav is that he taught you, that he has the knowledge, he has certain ideas, right?
So then,
that always exists. And your parents also, whether they're mochel on the cover, never changes the underlying identity of who they are. But a king that nobody treats like a king is no longer a king. There's no such thing anymore. That's the part of the definition of being the king is that you're setting up a certain order of a king has to have subjects. So a king cannot be mochel on his cover.
Mm-hmm.
Not possible, because that would undermine being a king. You can't have like a king pal. It's not no such thing. Melech means, that's what Nasi means when we're doing Harius. Remember, Nasi means the one who nobody is above him. I mean, that's what he is. He has to have that. He has to have that. He can't have to lower him down. It's not a matter of treating him in a certain way. It's a matter of destroying the definition. As long as the definition is intact, Rav, Av, Aim, so then he can be mochel on the behavior. But by the king, it's not a matter of being mochel on behavior, it's undermining who he is. So you can't be mochel on being, that's like stepping down. It's like I'm going to step down from the crown. You can't do that. So we're saying in a similar way over here, sometimes an action is outside of who you are, right? Sometimes the action doesn't have an effect on your status, on who you are. But sometimes the action has to do with your position, and it's not really, it really is part of maintaining a certain definition. So for the king to wash his face, that's melech b'yofio. Without the yofi, without being a noya, he's really diminishing the status of, he's really diminishing the station of melech. So for him, Rabbi Eliezer held, he can wash. No, as he's saying, there are two people who need the beauty for who they are. Either the melech, because that's the definition of melech, or kala, because that's the time of kala, means when you're forging the relationship, and at that time, it's not just it really has to do with the whole nature of being a kala. So as long as the Rabbi Eliezer held, so now we can try to get down to the machlokas a little bit though. Good. No, it definitely is not just a heter. He holds they should. I mean, assuming that they need it. If it doesn't mean you just keep washing your face. I mean, if it's necessary, they should. Yeah. So I mean, this is a good question. I mean, this is similar to your question too. I mean, it's Yom Kippur. Everybody knows that it's Yom Kippur, and you know, they know he's not washing his face because of this reason. So that's where the Musar comes in. This is the Musar part.
Standing or standing up?
So the question is, how could you tell me that it's going to take away from his being a king when he's a Melech Yisrael on the most important day of the year for the Jewish people? And how worse can he really look for one day of not washing his face? Right, you build up the question. And what's the answer? You see from this how important even a tiny bit of degradation to the king, even on the holiest day of the year, is. That's exactly what you see. But seriously, the point is that the king has to have a certain aura and a certain effect on the person. And it's true, rationally, you know it's Yom Kippur. And rationally, that's in your mind, you understand that. But emotionally, all of these halachos really of yira for the king, it has to do with a certain emotional impact. And the truth is, Bala Musar is right. I mean, in the framework of that, once there's a little crack in that veneer, you lose a certain. He already brought him down to your level a tiny bit, and that's, you don't know the depth of that type of effect. But the point is. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he's saying it's mutter for him because that's part of his being a melech. You want to say that what? You want to say that a melech is different? I'm saying the status of what a melech is always the same, mayor. What a melech is always the same. He's the person that you look to as a certain paradigm of strength and perfection of in terms of the role of projecting the face of Klal Yisrael or whatever it is. There's a certain absolute stature of Melech. And the definition of Melech doesn't change because it's Yom Kippur. You're saying we shouldn't care about what a Melech is in Yom Kippur as much. But Rabbi Eliezer is saying that's not the point. Saying the point is, whatever the stat, as long as he's doing it, not as a rechitza shel tainig, but because of what melech is, that's outside of his own personal, that's outside of a rechitza of the personal. And what a melech is never changes. Even on Yom Kippur, what a melech is always the same. You understand? You're saying we shouldn't care so much about what a melech. But the point is, where does the heter come from? Conceptually, the heter stems from the fact that the rechitza is shel melech, not shel tainig. It's not, and as long as the melech is always, as long as the definition of melech never changes, the heter is there. But let's get back to defining the machlokas again. So what's the machlokas? Yeah. Let me just give you a fact of here. In other words, when we say rechitza is asur, right? So everybody agrees. Even the rabbanim agree. There are cases where you're allowed to wash. Like what? You fell in the mud. All right. You went to the bathroom. Your hands are dirty, mamish dirty. So that you're allowed to wash the lichluch. You're allowed to wash filth off of your hands, right? That's not called a rechitza shel tainig. So that everybody agrees. That everybody agrees because you're taking actual dirt off of your hands. Okay? But the question over here is different. Because how come everybody agrees? It's not like Rabbi Eliezer has an idea of only rechitza shel tainig is asur, and the Chacham say all rechitza is asur. Because everybody agrees. If a guy's hand is full of mud, he's allowed to wash off. Gemara says, you give you rechitza to kedarko v'ein chosheish. Right, the question is only because of what? The question between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is because this definition. In other words, if I tell you that rechitza shel tainig is usher and not shel tainig is mutter, right? So now I know a guy has dirt on his hands. He's got mud on his hands. So I can say, well, it's clear from what. What makes that not a rechitza shel tainig? The maisa itself is different. Because he's not washing himself, really. He's not lathering up and washing himself. He's really removing, it's technically removing the mud. Right? He's not like bathing his body to enjoy the experience of the waters. The maisa, b'maisa itself, physically speaking, you can differentiate it. Say is really removal of the lichuch. The problem by that everybody agrees, where it's muchach in the maisa itself, that it's not shel tainug, because it's really to remove something else, that everybody agrees. The machlokas by kala and melech is different. The machlokas by kala and melech, we're trying to say over here, is because what differentiates the maisa rechitza from other maisa rechitza? It really is, it's their status. You understand? It's their status that makes the rechitza different. It's not in the maisa per se. You understand? When it's in the maisa, like mud on your hands or something, so then everybody agrees that's not defined as rechitza shel tainig. Because it's muchach It's muachach mitocho, physically speaking, from the action itself, intrinsically, internal to the maisa. It's a maisa not of rechitzas habasar, but of hasaras halichluch. Right? But what differentiates the washing of the king's face and the washing of the kala's face from the washing of your face or my face? The status of who they are. You understand? The circumstances, their definition, it's not intrinsic to the maisa. So you could say that what Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are arguing about is what is sufficient to remove the rechitza from Tainug. Everybody agrees when the maisa intrinsically is different, like just stam bathing as opposed to washing off dirt from your hand. When it's muchach mitocho, we would say, from within the maisa itself, that everybody agrees that you can differentiate rechitza shel tainik from stam rechitza. Their machlokus is, can you differentiate it when the maisa is exactly the same, but it's just because of a kiyam in the gavra that's different. It's just because of the status that's different. The objective is different because of the person's status, not because of the maisa. In other words, shel tainig and not shel tainig are really different objectives, right? So what defines the different objective? So one way to say is, everybody agrees that when the maisa itself is different, it's clear what the objective is. When I have dirt physically on my hand, so I'm really scraping the dirt off. The water helps me get the dirt off. But that intrinsically, that whole maisa redefines the objective. It's from the maisa itself. The objective is considered removing the dirt, not enjoying the experience of washing. But from the king, it only comes because the rechitza has an objective in his in his status. The kala, the rechitza, has an objective in her status. That's really the machlokus. Can I take it out of the objective of tainug? Can I redefine it as not shel tainug just based on the status alone? Or is it only when physically the maisa itself is different? Okay. But that's what I want to say. I want to say the kala and the melech are really a heter because we're removing it from... Because their whole activity is different. The king's washing is not like your washing. It's a whole different activity. He's preserving his status. The kala's washing is not like your washing. She is maintaining a certain status of kala. Okay? So those two things are the question. That's the question of rechitza. Meaning to say what? One second. I just want to say that the maisa of the rechitza is really a kiyam in their status, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer as a whole, it's not under the ordinary rechitza of tainug that affects everybody else. But you see this one. But the idea of the chaya wearing a shoe is different. According to this explanation, you understand? It doesn't follow the same path. What's the heter of a chaya wearing the shoe? It's a different kind of a heter. It's because her experience is exaggerated above the norm. In other words, the chachamim, or the Torah says, have the inui of not wearing a shoe. Right? But there's the normal inui of not wearing the shoe. And then there are people who are hypersensitive to not wearing a shoe. The kala is, the tzina is kosher. So when she doesn't wear the shoe, she's not experiencing the inui of not wearing a shoe anymore. That's the normal inui.
It's like an explicit
inui.
Pain that she feels.
It's above and beyond the normal inui of not wearing a shoe. In other words, that's what I was trying to say. That it doesn't seem to me that they have to all be together. There are two different types of there are two different kinds of questions. It seems to me, the question by the kala and the melech is: can we redefine the maisa by the status of the person, by saying it's their washing is really a kiyam in who they are? That's one kind of a question. But the chaya is a different kind of a question. Chaya is a different kind of question. Is the maisa usur in order to, when we say that the, when we say, is the maisa usur if the effect if the effect of refraining is much greater than the norm. Let's think about that one more. Yeah. I mean, the question is raised, what about achila for the chaya? So, I mean, that has to do with what we're going to get into a little later. And that is that everybody agrees that these are heterim. In other words, there's definitely more leeway in the four than in the achila and shasiya. Achila and shasiya is only if there's a sakar. No question about that.
They said you do it, it's kares. It's
like that's that. Right. The other four, there's no kares. And where no, it's not even Malkus. I mean, Malkus Mardus, Midrabban, but not really. But definitely on these four, I mean, we say even around the Zinzel, he calmly we're makel in these things. It definitely is the Rabbanon were makel, either because the whole thing is the Rabbanon, or they had the ability to make or whatever it is. I have to get into it, but. But it's not on par with Achil and Shasiyah for sure. No, as he's saying, over there, saying it's not the Ener of Ne'ilas Asandal for her. For her, it's not the Ener of Ne'ilas Asandal.
It makes sense that Rashi has to tell us that Rabbi Elazar is talking.
It's interesting. The Rambam says a regular Chola too is Mutter, right? Ne'ilas Asandal?
Yeah.
I mean, if he has that sensitivity, apparently.
The Chola Kiyoteva.
The Chola Kiyoteva,
right. And someone
who's
in this kind of situation would say,
right. See, it seems that I think Yitzi's right that it's they're learning. That's the machlokas of it. The Rabbanan is saying it's the same. It's the same. It's a question of degree. It's a question of degree. In other words, because you have, like, for instance, you have a case in the Gemara later on. If a guy, you're not allowed to do sicha, it's called, like shmearing, like oils. But the Gemara says if a guy has like terrible called chatotim, like cracks on his skull. I don't know exactly what it was. So it was a ma'aser refuah to put oil on your head. So that's mutter, because that's the ma'aser refuah. It's not considered categorically, it's a different activity. It's categorically different. But over here, everybody has discomfort from not wearing shoes. There's always a discomfort of the cold from not wearing shoes. So the Rabbanan hold that it's only... It comes down to the similar kind of a question, right? Similar kind of a question. Rabbanan insists always that the only type of a heter is if objectively it can be considered a different thing. So it has to be something like a guy has cracks on his head and he has to do a ma'aser. It's a ma'aser refuah. It's muchach from the ma'aser. They always insist that. The heter has to be in the ma'aser, removed from the iser. So, but the chalos shem of melech and kala, or the sensitivity of the chaya, that's just in the effect in the person that is different. It's not in the ma'aser anymore. So they hold. Rabbi Eliezer always hold. Rabbi Eliezer is makel on both. He holds if from the circumstances the ma'aser is considered different, either because the melech and mekala in their chal Hashem, or the hypersensitivity of the chaya means to say that in the circumstances the ma'aser is different, then there's a heter. Rabbanan hold it has to be from the ma'aser itself that there's a difference. Okay. In other words, they're both cases that physically, from the ma'isa, there's no difference. She wears a shoe like anyone wears a shoe. You can't see from her foot. It's not like a different kind of a thing. It's not like there are blisters or something. The king washes his face, the kala washes his face. So in all those things, the Rabbanan say, the only heter is when it's muchach from the ma'isa, like chatatim barosha, or there's a lichluch physically. But if in the ma'aser itself it's the same, then there's no heter. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, sometimes circumstances can be mafkia the ma'aser from tainug, and the circumstances are either the status of the melech and the kala, or the supersensitivity of the chaya to the kol. It's tantamount, even though physically it's the same, because of the circumstances, it's tantamount to being a different action already. Okay. But it does seem that it does seem that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum are arguing in all three. Right, even for the Rambam, it seems to be.